Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
Happy New Year. And are you aware that January was not always the first month of the new year? No. I get to, enlighten you? This is great. No, the ancient Romans used a different calendar system. So their year began at the solstice in March. Their January was March. And their year ended in February. So around the 5th century before Christ, there was a legendary, probably not a real king, but the legendary second king of Rome, Numa Pompilius.
That was what we were going to name our kid.
Numa Pompilius. this is what's attributed to him, that he added a month to the beginning of the year and named it January after the Roman god of beginnings and endings, Janus. The Roman god of beginnings and endings. But here's a fascinating fact. In 1582, Pope Gregory adjusted the calendar so that most Western nations began celebrating the start of the year on January 1st. And then that new calendar was then and is now known as the Gregorian calendar. Okay. In England, though, Henry VIII had broken them off. He became, the head of the church in England, and they weren't Catholic anymore. His daughter, Elizabeth I, was ruling in 1582, and they weren't Catholic, so they didn't follow the new calendar. So England, and later the American colonies, continued to celebrate the new year in March at the solstice until 1752. Did you know that? Finally, then, England, the American colonies, they adopted the Gregorian calendar. So here we are, 268 years later, January 2020, we're celebrating another new year, which is offering us another opportunity to look back at the year that's ending, and Janus, looking forward to the year that's just beginning. So we want to begin this morning by taking a look back.
But first, I got to tell you one more tidbit. Because I'm a history geek, and this is really awesome. The American colonies waited so long to adopt the Gregorian calendar. By the time they did, they were 11 days behind where the rest of the world was. So when they adopted it, they moved forward. They wanted it, one day it was February 1st, and the next day it was February 12th. And people really thought that they were losing days from their lives. They were cussing out the Pope and everybody else because they thought, if the calendar's gone, then I'm just, they just stole those days from me.
No wonder they had a revolution not too long after that. I mean, they were just...
They're taking days from my life.
Right.
Anyway, well, we are here, whatever the date is. New Year's Day is just kind of a made-up thing, but it does give us an opportunity once in a while to just stop and reflect. And hopefully you had a chance to do that this week, and if you didn't, we're going to give you a chance today anyway. Let's remember where God led us this past year. And let's talk about where he's led us together first in our times here on Sunday mornings. Our theme has been what it means to live a whole life. And we picked that theme a year ago for two reasons. One, it's obvious that many people in our world are not living a whole life. They're not living in the abundance and fulfillment that is promised in the kingdom of God, including many people that have the title Christian or following Jesus. And some of us, I mean, who among us would say, yes, I'm fully living the whole life? There is always more. There's always more that God has to give us. But we look around our world and go, wow. No, it's been a tough year for the world. I said that last week. And it's not just, by the way, because of politics or circumstances. It's not just because of what's out there. It's that for many, our souls have become thin and shallow. It's time for the world to mature. Do you agree with that? It's time for this world to grow up a bit, to become solid, to take root in what really matters, to recover a sense of what's true. Well, that leads us to the second reason we adopted the theme of this whole life is because we know that God has called us here in this congregation to be a whole life church. That we are individually and as a community not to be like that. That we're not to be content with a shallow faith and a shallow life. Not to be blown this way and that way by every wind or worry. We're called to experience and to model with our own lives what it means to be mature in faith. Mm-hmm. and then to invite others into that same experience with God. So, they'll get there. We looked this past year at seven seasons of the life of faith and showing how we mature much like a tree does. And so the titles reflected that. They also reflected a bit of the paradox of that and how we hold things in tension as we mature. We finished those seven seasons just last week. Today, then, let's reflect together and individually first on where each of us has been this past year in our season of life. And we're going to give you an opportunity to share some of that with each other. So today is an interesting combination of we're going to prime the pump a little bit. You're going to get to share some testimonies. We're going to have some Q&A mixed in there with it. And we'll let the Holy Spirit decide what happens. It'll be fun. First, some things to ponder. What were the gifts of this past year? See them up there. In other words, where did you see God show up with grace in your life? Now, your first inclination there might be to think, what were the happy times? And that's a gift. That's grace. But remember also that gifts sometimes come in disguise. So let's also ask the second question, the one underneath the line there. What also were the challenges? And how, if you did, have you come to see grace in them as well? Now, you may want to draw on your prayer card for last year, if you remember what that was. You received them back. If you were here last year when we did that, and we're going to do those again today. If you were here last year when you did that, and you received that back a couple weeks ago, and you remember what was there, what is it that you were praying for that God answered? And how did God answer that? Did God give you something other than what you thought you wanted a year ago? Give you a moment just to think about that, and then we're going to invite you to share. Yes, thanks.
Okay, and you can keep thinking about it, but we want to now invite you, you know, to share some of your responses with the rest of us. What is it that's coming up inside of you? You know, what's coming back into your memory. So we're going to invite you to share testimonies. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
And since all of what Tony just said, the gifts, the challenges, testimonies, and since we're going to be passing the mic around anyway, you're also invited to ask questions. Like we do sometimes when we have Q&A cafes.
We didn't do the whole cafe this morning, but you're still allowed to ask questions,
yeah,
even without
questions
a round
about
table.
So questions about maybe the paradoxes. We got so much feedback on that last series in December. Thank you. But if you have questions or you want to, you know, explore, did you have some light bulb moments about the paradoxes that we discussed last month? Or maybe you want to share a testimony, an insight, or an experience of your own growth over the last year? Is there a season of faith maybe that you're curious about and you want to know more about? Or even, you know, this is Hosanna after all, where anything can happen and often does. Is there anything else that you want to share about or ask a question about? It's open. So we're going to open that time up right now and invite you to share. All you have to do is raise your hand, and Jeff, or if you want to, you can come up and use this mic up here. And again, the lights always keep us from seeing. Sherry. It's not.
Sherry is with us.
Yay.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, and looking well.
As most of you know, I've missed the last 5 weeks.
Yes, shoot.
And I missed the whole series, so. But when I was in the hospital, I didn't realize how serious a cat bite can be.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor told me it could have killed me if I hadn't gone in there.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was in there, God really talked to me. I have a terrible temper, and I always take everything as it's my fault. Mm-hmm. And he talked to me, and he told me, my family is as it is, and I just have to accept it, and it's not my fault.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And so when I came home, I was so glad just to be home and to be back here.
Yes, and we're grateful to have you back. Yes. Yeah. I'm remembering years ago, Deb had a cat bite that was pretty serious as well, as we watched the red line go up her arm. Yeah, yeah.
I'm enjoying the fact that the very first testimony of what God did this past year with this theme was happened with somebody that wasn't in church.
And it was a cat. It was a cat, your favorite animal on the face of the earth. But what an insight. You know, and it doesn't mean, I think it's illustrated, even though you might not have been with us for the paradox series, it is a paradox. Because on one hand, you could feel like, well, God's telling me not to care about my family. God's just saying, just let it go, let it be. And that's not it, is it? It's actually also to let yourself be, just be, not take everything personally. To just realize it's not about you all the time. It's not about me all the time or any one of us. People do things for a lot of reasons. But we get to let there be some space and have healthy boundaries. This year, one of the things that we'll be talking about is what's the difference between healthy boundaries and damaging barriers? Right? It's a good year to talk about that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I hear, you being invited by God to develop healthy boundaries for your life. It's good stuff, Sherry. Very mature.
Thank Speaking you for of people who that. Weren't here for 5 weeks, Rick?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. So I just got back from New Zealand and Australia and Hawaii, so I had a great trip with my wife. I was not with you here last year at this time. I came in August, and I was searching around Lancaster County for a church. You know, my wife and I had just come down from New Hampshire. And I went to quite a few churches, and yeah, wasn't real impressed. And when I remember when I first came in here, you know, the first service, August 11th, and I'm sitting and I'm kind of looking around, I'm seeing no Bibles and folks' hands and nobody taking notes, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, am I in another church light? Mm. Well, let me tell you, Miss Joanne up there began the teaching that day on defoliation, and it wasn't 10 minutes into that teaching that I knew, oh, I walked into Dark Night 12 years ago, and you know, the descriptions that are in the book, the critical journey that the teachings are based on, are just really sit true for me. Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful for me walking into a space and in just minutes knowing, oh, here's where you've been the past 12 years spiritually. So very quickly, the Holy Spirit tapped on my shoulder really hard, and I knew I was in the right place. You know, and next week I start, or actually this week I start spiritual guidance in my path forward. And I'm just really happy to say that this is not church light at all. I'm just so happy to be here. And, you know, what Tony was talking about, this being church for the whole life, I mean, has really rung true to me in just a few months I've been here with you.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick. Yeah. And you know what? If you want to bring your Bibles, it's okay.
I want to piggyback on something Rick said there.
Yeah, go ahead, bring it. It's nice to write in them, isn't it? Go ahead.
This connected to that message on defoliation, which was our metaphor for the Dark Night experience that Joanne was speaking about back in August when I was in Israel digging in the dirt. This is one of the contributions that this community makes to the church at large and to the world, because most Christians do not understand this Dark Night experience. And they interpret it in ways that don't necessarily have grace. And so when they go through a dark time, many people feel like they are doing something wrong, or that God has abandoned them, or they often, sometimes they even lose their faith in this process. and to recognize it, to name it for what it is, and to experience the grace in it, and see God's presence in it, and to recognize it's a necessary thing in the maturing of our faith, changes everything. Mm-hmm. And there are very few places where that is taught, and it's a biblical truth. And so anyway, that's one of the things we're rather passionate about here, being able to help people walk through those dark experiences and the defoliation, and know that God is in this. And there is something good waiting on the other side. Anyway, enough of that, but just wanted to emphasize that. Who has the mic?
I saw John a hand.
A particular bricklayer.
John Garvey.
John Garvey. I haven't been here for a few weeks. I want to thank Dale and Joanne for a phone call, checking up on me just to see how I was doing. It's been about 4 weeks. We came in, and Sean played that Waymaker song. Mm-hmm. And Lisa and I were playing that at home that day before church on YouTube, and fell in love with that song maybe 4 or 5 months ago, so much that our new shirts have Waymaker on the back of
them. Oh, wow.
And, you know, when we heard that, we were like, oh, this is so cool. We were just listening to it this morning, and now Sean brought that up. You gotta love church. You gotta love God. He just is. Yep. He just puts these little things in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Which brings me to this point. Wednesday night,
I
had
walking.
A dream.
This is a problem. No.
hey, you ought to see me at a wedding. Don't give me a mic at a wedding. Wednesday night, Lisa and I were sick for a week, so we had our Christmas celebration Wednesday night with the family, the girls, and what have you, and it was just beautiful. Went to bed, had a dream about Tony.
Oh!
John, how many times have we talked about this?
it seemed quite long, quite interesting, and Tony was talking about his life. Where's his life going? Hmm. And I was telling him, I got this new program. Let's look at it. And it was kind of like a Google Earth program, but more intense. And Tony and I were looking down at his old farmstead where he grew up.
Wow. Hmm.
And Tony's talking about, well, where am I going? And, you know, as dreams go, you never seem to really finish them. But I woke up and I was talking to Lisa about it. And I was saying, you know, it's a little troubling. You know, I'm trying to figure this dream out about Tony Blair. And so Lisa and I prayed for you. You know, because you did seem a little confused in the dream. And then I was sitting here, I raised my hand to talk, to share this. I thought, no, this isn't for now. And then Lisa said, well, pray about it. And God said, John, I'm talking to you.
Yes, come to the class I'm going to be doing, like, in several months. Yes.
So I just thought I'd share that. So, Tony, you were in the dream, and you were quite lovely. But it was about me.
Yeah.
But it was about you.
Thank you, John.
That is awesome, John.
Yeah. We're going to, that confirmation. You were talking about the body of Christ, right? And the things that aren't, that appear to be accidental that aren't. The word is synchronicity. The more we're living internally in alignment, in order, like being reordered by the Holy Spirit, the more the internal world and the external world begin to mirror each other. So have you noticed how you'll have a question and you're just kind of talking it over with God? And then somebody in a conversation who knows nothing about what's going on inside of you says something that is directly related to what's going on between you and God. That synchronicity that you're talking about with the songs, and we need to be aware and tuning into this, because this is one of the primary ways the Holy Spirit speaks to the body and through the body of Christ. So I thank you for that, and also dreams. I did put a plug in for the class on dreams, Christian dream interpretation. We'll be doing in several months. So thank you.
And I know I'm dreamy, so if anybody else, you know, wants to incorporate me into your dream pattern.
No, but what's fun is, if it's about you, then you would start to ask,
what does Tony represent to me?
That's the part of you that God's talking to in the dream. Yeah. Okay. There was a hand. Yeah.
Yes. I'm Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Tony represents God to me. I will say that right there. Everything that's great and lovely and good about God. I have a question, actually. I have somebody who needs a lot of help. I'm going to try not to be emotional. Who needs a lot of help, and I feel like I'm the only person that can reach them. And I'm seeing little cracks, but they're very gradual, and he actually needs a lot of help. And I don't know how to love him and do it and help him and keep myself at the same time. So that's my question.
Tony?
Can you say a little bit more about the relationship? Is it a friendship? Is it more of a...
It's a very close, someone who I live with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and who really needs help, and it's almost becoming like a safety issue for themselves and for me. But they're in pain, and I see hope, and I'm trying to help them, and I'm talking to them, and I see some of it coming through very gradually, but it's very slow, and it's very scary, though. So I don't know if that makes more sense.
I'll let Tony in a minute. Just to say, when you use the word safety, anybody use the word safety in a sentence that implies you might not be? Means you need to be considering the difference between what is a healthy boundary. It's what we were talking about earlier, that you need to have healthy boundaries, and what does that look like for you in your life, in your that relationship, in the situation as it is. I would invite you to talk with Deb about resources, and you may have already, but it's important for us to recognize we're not God. And the temptation is for us to want to help to a degree that surpasses what we're able to do, either as humans, or especially as an individual. And to learn how to negotiate the boundaries. That out of love, sometimes we enter into dynamics that actually end up damaging us more and the other person more. So there's a lot there to unpack, but that's what I would say, first of all, is if you start to feel like, oh my gosh, God, I'm the only one, I'm here, he's the only one that, I'm the only one that he'll trust, that may be true, but you need people then who can walk with you to help you to hold this in a way that you do not feel the pressure, like somehow his life is dependent on you and his choices are, does it make sense? Yeah.
I had a conversation just yesterday with somebody who was in a very similar situation, kind of an emergency conversation. This person came to me and said, I'm dealing with somebody and they're not safe and it feels like right now everything's dependent on me and I haven't slept in a week. I'm so busy taking care of this other person. So we had a conversation. Every situation is different, but these are kind of questions or observations that I asked in that one. One is, what are you getting out of this? Now, it doesn't mean that there's always a negative motivation, but if any of us are sometimes helping somebody so that we can feel like a hero or a rescuer or a savior, then that's unhealthy because we're not bringing the best motivation into it. If it's pure love, we'll know. So recognizing it, what am I getting out of this, if anything? The second thing, it's kind of a rule that I think many of us here kind of utilize. It took me years to come to this as a pastor. I will not work harder on somebody's stuff than they're willing to work.
Yeah, that's
Joanne has taught me that one, and it's been a healthy reminder here. So I see sometimes somebody says, they're always coming, Tony, help me, help me, help me. And I'm like, well, if somebody really is trying to work on their stuff, I'll go to extraordinary lengths sometimes to walk alongside of them, but I will not work harder than they're working. So a lot of times people come to me, will you come and talk to so-and-so over here? And my answer is if they want me to and they will invite me to, I will do that, but I will not just intrude into their life. They need to want it and want to be willing to deal with their stuff. So there's some of the boundaries that we do here at Hosanna that we found keep us from maybe getting into some unhealthy dynamics and still be able to help people because that's what it's about. We really want to do that, share the grace of God, but in a way that we don't get consumed by it. or taking advantage of.
Yeah, and again, I'm thinking about what Sherry was saying also about family dynamics. To have those healthy boundaries is absolutely necessary. What was something you said? It just went out. I looked at her and I lost my thought. It'll come back. But yeah, that we need to. Oh, that it's not. It's not that it's not care. It can feel uncaring. You know, but there's all kinds of dynamics that need to be unpacked often in relationships where it's not only what we're getting out of it, it's what they're getting out of it. And people with addictions, spiritual attachments, because we're all, you know, addictive personalities in the sense that we were created to be dependent on God. When we divert the dependence that is only God's to someone or something else, so we're moving our dependence from the Creator, who is the source of life and freedom, to a created thing or person, and we attach it there. Oh, my word. We're all addicts in some way. Think about food. You think about what we do and grasp onto in order to be okay. And often in a relationship, it's the other person. And so when the dynamics get unhealthy and everyone knows they're unhealthy, to change is threatening in a backwards kind of way. Because to get healthy means something's got to change. Does it make sense? So it's going to feel, what is right is going to feel wrong for a while. What's healthy is going to feel really bad for a while. Until you reorder things in a way that we're holding, it's just what we were talking about last week or the week before. You hold everything lightly and everyone lightly, knowing our ultimate dependence is God. Make sense? Yeah.
One more. One more thing, because the word safety was mentioned. All right, we'll do just a little workshop here on how to deal with people that are troubled. And sometimes we're the ones. It's okay. There's grace for this. Sometimes we're the one that is desperate for somebody to help us out, and that's okay. But whenever the word safety comes into play, because the conversation yesterday was about safety. It was about a young man who's walking around with a gun and he's stalking somebody and all that stuff. You know, my alarm bells go off, and a short version of it is the police got involved later that afternoon because they're the professionals.
That's right.
I'm not a professional in that. I was not going to sit there and presume to tell somebody how to handle that situation.
Yep.
There are people that know how to do that, and they got involved, and things have been stabilized as a result. So, whatever the professional needs to be involved, we do that because we're not, unless you're trained in that.
Yeah.
Don't go
so
there.
Authentically loving someone else or ourselves doesn't always feel like what we characterize as love. So someone in a relationship that's like dependent, codependent, or addictive or something, if you say, I'm going to put some healthy boundaries, that person might say, you don't love me. If you loved me, you would really do this, or you'd really just keep things exactly the way they are. No, not always. So yeah, but with the safety factor, or if someone's threatening to kill themselves, so you do the discernment. Because there are days when I say, okay, God, I am really done. I am really tired and I'm really done, and tonight might be a good time to go to sleep. Do I mean that I'm going to actively participate in ending my life? No. Does it mean I don't love my life? No, it just means momentarily there's a feeling of I'm tired and I really need a long nap. That needs to be distinguished from a continuing pattern where there is a real self-hatred inside and a desire to end. We must act then in some way, reach out to somebody else. You know, we have counselors in this church. We have, you know, pastoral staff. We have people who are trained in trauma that we can get you in contact with. But you got to be willing to reach out.
Yeah. Why don't we take one more right now, and then we're going to do
a
little break, and then open it up again.
No, this is good.
Who has it now? The long-lost Debbie. Yes. Not so lost anymore. Hi.
Yay! Welcome back.
The 3x5 cards. Years ago when we first started them, my prayer was for my family to heal the inner fighting.
Yeah.
And being the young Christian, I wanted it done within that year. And it didn't happen. So the next year came, I wrote the same prayer. The next year came, and I wrote the same prayer. And I wrote it, and I wrote it, and I wrote it. And I go, okay, it's time to get off this train. And I just stopped writing it, but it was still my prayer. And I said, okay, not in my time, but in God's time. Mm-hmm. And that prayer was answered. Yeah. But now I have a new one that I need to find a new way for my life.
Yeah.
I guess since we lost my husband, the kids realized life is too short. And now we're coming together as a whole family again instead of bits and pieces. One comes and one stays away. One comes and one stays away. Yeah. So
yeah,
thank you, God, and just be with me in the coming years.
Yeah. Thanks, Debbie. Yeah, so true. An example, a hard example. One of those blessings in disguise, how the loss that we sustain often in families through death or other means, God's still at work. It's the song we were just singing. God's still working when we don't see it, when we don't feel it, and answering those prayers in the right timing. So thanks. Well, okay. Wow. A lot there. There's probably, we could go on for a couple more hours, but looking back, now let's shift our view and let's spend some time looking forward. Because in this moment, right here now, here at Hosanna, we, and you know, all of us who follow the Gregorian calendar, we're perched on the edge of a new year right now, right? And so as we shift from looking backwards to looking forward, what we recognize right away is our view is limited. We can speculate on what we think might happen in the next 360 days because we're already 5 days into 2020. But the reality is anything could happen. And we don't know. And that reality can cause us anxiety, or it could cause us anticipation, or more likely, it'll cause a combination of both of those and everything in between. But in the face of all the possibilities of the new year, one thing we'd like to encourage all of us to do is try to avoid another A word, which is apathy. This year, let's not just let things happen to us. Let's be intentional this year about actively praying and participating with God in what God is and will be doing this year. And that's an unfolding thing, you know? As the year goes on, we'll know more and more and be able to see more, a bit more clearly what it is that God might be doing. But let's not be apathetic. Let's be intentional. In a few weeks, we're going to share our teaching theme for 2020, along with some of what we believe God's inviting all of us together to actively join him in being and doing this year. But for this moment, in this morning, let's focus a bit more intentionally about how God's inviting you to actively participate in your one life. That's all we get. How is God inviting you to actively participate in your one wild and precious life with him this year? So here's a few more questions to reflect on. We looked already at what were the gifts and what were the challenges of 2019. Well, what are your hopes and longings? What callings are you sensing for 2020? What grace do you need from God this year? In other words, what would you do if you knew God would empower you to do it? All right? What would you do in 2020 if you knew for a fact that God would empower you to do it? What sacrifices would you be willing to make to do that? What increased commitment You know, are you willing to make in response to the callings and the sense that if God calls you to it, God's going to empower you to do it? And not only for yourself, but what do you want for Hosanna this year? And are you willing to be an answer to that prayer? Just give you just a few moments here to reflect on those questions.
Well, it's your turn again. So you see that we did a little intro to looking back, and now it's the looking forward. And perhaps if you had something to say earlier and it's still true and you're looking at it going forward, then, you know, just go ahead and talk about that. But we're opening up the service for a few more minutes of sharing. And looking forward to the new year and your response to those kind of questions.
And I intend to be intentional this year. I'm retiring at the end of May, for those of you who don't know. And I will not be apathetic in my retirement.
Yes, I believe you.
Just so you know.
Are you going to drive people crazy?
And for
crazy?
Those of you who need a Uber or Lyft driver, I only drive now on Friday nights and Sunday afternoons, but I will be available at other times during the week as well. And Beth and I are going to have our honeymoon together. We will be together more than ever before. And I will be cooking more than I have in the past.
Ooh, that's a
and
good thing.
Beth likes that until she gets tired of me cooking new things. And she says, can't we just have something that we've had in the past before? And I say, no, we've got all these cookbooks and we haven't used all these recipes. I've got to find me a new one for tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. And for her, it's going to be a roller coaster. For me, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Hey, can we put the slide back up with the questions?
I didn't answer any of those questions.
No, I know. That's why I'm putting it back up. No.
Well, speaking of meal ministry, Rick, I'm retired. I've been retired for a lot of years, but I don't know how I had time to work. I am never bored. I have said in the beginning when I first came to Hosanna that if there was a job that nobody else wanted to do, call me. Don't put me in charge of anything. Don't make me the head of anything. Don't make me do anything that has a title to it. But if you have a job, call me. And Hosanna has done that through the years. Little did I know that my cooking was going to be something that was going to be such a help. And I am so honored to do that. But
thanks
going
also for
forward,
helping to mow the grass and carry tables and everything.
Yeah, that's
we
not
going to
happen.
That.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but thanks. You know, that gives us this a good time to say, if there's something you're called to do, let us know. Let us know.
I just started this dot art painting a year ago, and it has opened up doors for a ministry that I had no idea, and it's an outreach to the community I live in. And because of my outreach, I was able to, first time in the history of Presbyterian Senior Living, that they had allowed somebody to transfer from a two-bedroom to a one-bedroom, and they fought for me to do that. And I saw the blessing. It's not always instantaneous, but it happens. Mm-hmm. People come to me for prayer, and I say, I'm not the answer, but I will speak to God and see what he has for me. I just had a lady call me the other day with a problem she had with her children, and I said to her, I'm not here to answer your questions. I'll ask you a few, and then I'm going to go talk to God for a while. I came back to my apartment. I no sooner sat down to do my devotions, and I got the answer that I asked for. And I wrote it on a sticky note and stuck it on her door because it didn't come from me. It came from God.
That's
so I pray that in your retirement, Rick, that you will do what I'm doing, and that's to endeavor to hear the voice of the Lord more and more as I try to walk closer.
Awesome. Thank you, Donna. Yep. There's one over there.
Yeah. We'll get back to you, Jody.
Yep.
A few months ago, someone told me that part of my self-care is to do and be what God created me to do and be. Mm-hmm. So the exploration for that, when I sat down with God, it's like, okay, I know I can do this, and I know I can do this. And that's sort of how he's been using me. I have gifts that I know I can use, mm-hmm. and that's what I do. I also have learned a really large lesson for me. I don't base anymore the fruits of the Spirit, the peace, the love, the joy, on how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. I have that within me.
That's right.
All the time.
That's right.
Even though my circumstances don't always look great, I just have this deep peace and trust. Yeah. And I don't make decisions based on my emotion. I don't have my emotions dictate my attitude. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really big level of grace for me. There's been a really big shift within me.
Wow. Awesome. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Yep. Thanks.
Jody had her hand up. I love that one song we sing in here that has a line, "The world has nothing for me." It's not that there isn't goodness and grace out there and all of that, but there's nothing out there that God has not, that we need, that God hasn't already given us.
I don't like that line in the song. We'll just different ways of interpreting. No. You can like it. Not my favorite.
Jody, settle this for us.
Just the other day, I said to someone about the struggles that I've been through last year, that I need to stop caring so much.
Yes.
And when you said that, it's affirmation to me that I'm heading in the right direction, because I struggled with, that sounds really selfish.
Yeah.
But yes, for the last several decades of my life, I've taken on a lot of responsibility that's not mine.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I need to start turning that over and taking care of myself and learning healthy boundaries.
Yes. Wow. Wow. Good, Jody. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
I put something in my journal here the other day that, God, okay, I'm finally coming to believe that you know how to manage the world better than I do. I think you get the last word here, Linda.
Oh, really? There's just been a lot of synchronicity for me here this morning. What John was saying about the Waymaker, I heard that song on the way in here this morning on my radio.
Wow.
And the whole topic of grace and how we've already all been sharing about that. And every year I try to pick a word that will define my year, or that I will help me along in my journey. And this year, God showed me grace. Uh-huh. Grace is my word for the year. So already in the last 5 days, so many things about grace have come to light. And so just two things that I have written down that I'd like to share. One was on this website called Encourage, and it said, if you ever criticize yourself, try this. Let's resolve not to use condemnation as motivation when the God we serve only uses grace. And that really spoke to me. And then, I don't know if it was on the same site, but a Bible verse. It's from Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you to really notice when God's graces are happening in your life.
Yeah, thank you, Linda. And also notice when they're not. That, you know, you listen now to the whole group. There's some threads this morning, and one of them is about this idea of self-care versus selfish or selfless, right? And so I'm hearing that for the series coming up. We're going to need to unpack that with our theme, which we'll tell you about in a couple weeks. But this idea that it is sin to condemn ourselves. Not biblical, not anything to do with Jesus. Book of Romans.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
His argument, if you haven't read the book of Romans, read it. And just really try to understand what Paul is saying is so radical, it gets missed all the time. But he culminates this. So what are we to do, oh wretched person that I am? I want to do one thing, and I do something else. Then I don't do the very thing I want to do. What is happening? And the culmination of the argument is just that. There is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And he goes on through chapter 8 to that beautiful declaration of what can separate us from the love of God. Nothing except our own. The only thing would be our choice. Nothing can rip us apart from the union that we have with God in Christ. But we can put ourselves down and sin against ourselves, and it causes God, and I've experienced this because I've had to work through this myself. When I was given in prayer the experience from God of God allowing me to feel this much of how that affects him. When he longs for us to thrive, and he longs for us to be free, and he longs for us to love him, our neighbor, and ourselves the way he does, when we condemn ourselves and call ourselves names and refuse to do the very things that give us life, it causes God's heart to break. He is like any good parent. We want to see our children being who they were created to be and thriving, right? He wants the same thing for us. And so that idea of self-care is we take care of ourselves, and there's a balance, not to be selfish, but we take care of ourselves for God so that God would have the joy of seeing his children be who he created them to be. Does it make sense? It's a different way. We'll unpack that some more.
Well, let's see what it is that God has for us for this year. For those of you that have been here before, you know the drill. But if you haven't been, it'd be around the turn of the new year, every year, we give you an envelope like this with a little index card inside. And we invite you to write prayer requests for the following year. And then don't do it yet. And then put them back in the envelope without the pencil, and seal it, put your name on the front, and then there will be a bucket to drop them off in. And then we open them up. You get this back, like at the end of the year, we open them up and see what it is that God has done over the
past. Don't we want them to put their name and address? Yeah,
we want
to mail them
name and address. Okay. Yeah. And if you didn't get one, Helen's waving them right now, so raise your hand and she'll take care of you. But I said don't write yes yet, because what Joanne just said earlier, we want to be very intentional this year. We don't want this to be same old, same old. My goodness, we've been doing this for a few years, and what is it we're going to write down? What is it that God is up to in the world? What is it that God is up to in our life? What is it God is up to here at the church? And so we encourage you to begin by asking, what is the one thing above all else that you and God need to talk about this year? What is the one thing that you will put down as your primary request? Narrow it down to the thing that matters the most. And then, yes, once you have that figured out, you can write no more than two others, but you can add another one or two on there. And the intention here is just simply to be reflective. Now, we're going to give you a moment to do that, but it's 11 o'clock hour, and you may not be prepared right away to do that. We're going to close a prayer here in a moment, and then if you need to hang out in the auditorium a little bit and finish that, get that a little bit more thought, feel free to do so. We're actually going to put the reflection questions that Joanne had for us a few moments ago, we'll put them back up on the screen, because you may want to be thinking through those reflection questions as you answer this. But there are some buckets in the back when it's time to go. What's the one thing that you and God need to talk about? Add another one or two requests, no more than two. The reason for that is it's important that we remember these. But how often does it happen? We get these in the end of December and we go, oh, I forgot about that. So we want to narrow it down so that so it's something that it's important that we make part of our habit, part of our ongoing conversations with God. God, I'm serious about this. Or God, you're serious about this, and I'm trying to catch up with you. And so let's talk about that and notice them then during the year as God responds to us. Good deal? Okay. As I said, you can take a little more time to do that. I do want to honor the fact that the kids are done and some of you are ready to go. So let's close the service with a prayer. I'm going to invite you to stand up to do this. I know you're busy writing, and if you're busy writing, it's okay. This is adapted from Isaiah 43. And Isaiah 43 is God who is talking to his people. And he says, this is the kind of God that I am. And therefore, this is what I encourage you to do. And so what we did was just turned it around. And this is a prayer acknowledging who God is. And then it expresses our trust and our confidence in what we will do in response to God. So, it's 22 slides. Let's pray it all together. And give this as our final worship to God this morning. You are the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator. You are the one who has made a path through deep waters, so we have not been overcome. You are the one who has protected us against all challenges and enemies again and again. So we will not dwell on former things. You are doing a new thing. We see it springing up before us. This is so much like you. You make a way in the wilderness when there seems to be no way. You give nourishment in our dryness when there seems to be no hope. We will trust you today, this year, this decade, for you are trustworthy indeed. Amen. Indeed, he is. Go in his peace. Take a little time if you need it, and we'll see you next Sunday.